All right. Proverbs chapter 18. Notice verse 19 tonight. Notice the Bible says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Let's read that together when I say begin. Ready? Begin. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Interesting. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. It's just a joy to be here tonight. And Lord, as we continue in this series, Wisdom from Above, in the book of Proverbs, I pray, Lord, you'd give us understanding about this subject that we see here in this verse. Lord, I trust and I know that you've led me to preach this, and I pray as I do that it'd come across clear, and Lord, I know that's a work of your Spirit. And so I pray you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. I pray you'd help us, Lord, as we strive to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel, to really understand what you're telling us here, this principle. So bless the message, use it for your glory. We do ask if someone's here tonight unsaved, that tonight they'd trust Christ, and for the believer, you'd work in our hearts as well. Thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year, the senior members of the top-performing woodwind instrument group at Henry Jackson High School in Washington, what they do is they select a piece, this woodwind group, really good performers there, they select a piece to perform during the graduation ceremonies. They do it every year. And having performed Franz Biebel's Ave Maria at a public concert in 2004, the seniors were wondering what to do, trying to debate on what should we do. They unanimously chose to perform it again at their graduation ceremony on June 17th, 2006. They felt this its aesthetic beauty and peacefulness would really be appropriate for the tone of the ceremony. Now, the piece, of course, Ave Maria, was to be performed instrumentally only at the graduation. They had not going to have any lyrics, words, either sung or said, no narration. They didn't intend to print any lyrics in the ceremony program. All it was the music, and they were set to do it. Until Carol Whitehead, the school superintendent, refused to allow them to perform Ave Maria at the graduation ceremony. Now, when asked why, she said this, because of the religious nature of the piece. Now, what most people, especially non-musical people, do not know is that Ave Maria is Latin for Hail Mary. And the reason that she gave for not allowing the piece to be performed was this. She said she wanted to avoid offending anyone. That's what she said. You know, in recent years, we have been witnessing the emergence of a so-called right that makes no appearance in our Constitution, yet has emerged as a publicly sanctioned right that in reality trumps the First Amendment at every turn. It is the so-called right to not be offended. Now, years ago, I was working my way through Bible college. I was an adult student. I think you know the story. And I worked at an electronics boutique at their distribution center in Westchester, PA. I was just trying to get a job to feed the family, and that opened up, and it worked, and the hours worked, and so forth. So I worked there. It was not a place that was open to the public. It was, again, like a warehouse. It was their distribution center. And what they did there was we basically restocked the stores with merchandise. And again, I don't even know what happened to Electronics Boutique. I don't even think they're around anymore. But during work hours, employees, we were allowed, again, a non-public place to talk as long as we didn't stop working. And people had conversations while they were packing boxes or doing whatever they had to do. And some people talked about the Eagles game, and some people talked about the Phillies game or whatever they did over the weekend. You know, the subjects that you have in the workplace and that sort of thing. And so I used the opportunity many times to engage people in conversations about the Lord. I mean, they're talking about the Phillies, they're talking about the Eagles, and I'd get to talk with some. I'd say, hey, where do you go to church? And, you know, and get the conversation, try to talk about salvation. And I did have several people that were interested. Some made, a few made professions of faith while I was there as I gave the gospel to them. But then one day I was told by one of the managers, much younger than I was, they said, you need to stop. I said, stop what? You need to stop what you're talking about. I said, what do you mean? And she said, you can't talk about religion and politics at work. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, the reason is because people might get offended. Well, I told her, because I knew at this time I'd been saved long enough to know that you can't prohibit speech on the base of its content. If you're allowing them to talk about the Phillies and the Cowboys or whatever, then I can talk about the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if you're saying nobody can talk, that's a different story.
Right.
But if you're letting everybody talk, then I can do that. And she didn't like my answer. I didn't quite say it with the tone. I just said it here, though. So I made a call to CLA, and I don't remember if I got a letter or they made a call to them or whatever. Well, they stopped telling me that anymore, and they let me do what I wanted to do because what I was allowed to do. But I want you to think about that for a moment, because we're seeing that all around in our culture today. Don't offend me. What you're saying is offending me. That's what they say. I mean, how many times do we hear people to say when it's something that they don't like, something that they don't agree with, something that they cannot argue against, or just merely something they don't want to hear, and they respond with the words, I'm offended. You're offending me. With the idea, because they said that we have to stop saying what we're saying because they don't like it. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. It's not true constitutionally, and it's not true biblically.
Amen.
You don't have to stop expressing your beliefs because someone says, I'm offended.
Right.
You see, in a nation that protects, and that's we're still in America, I think,
Amen.
Kind of a little bit of a resemblance of America still, in a nation that protects the right of free speech and embraces and allows all points of view, understand something. If that's true, and it is, then at some time or another, someone's going to take offense at something that someone else says.
Right.
It's a part of freedom of speech. Someone is going to get offended. Offenses are inevitable.
Right.
It's going to happen. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1 to his disciples, he said, it is impossible but that offenses will come.
Amen.
Not only will we be offended, but sometimes we'll offend people because of what we say or what we think.
Right.
It's interesting because that word offense in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1 and other times in the New Testament comes from a Greek word, scandalon. Here's what it means. It means to cause displeasure. In other words, you and I are going to say something or do something at times that's going to cause displeasure with someone. Our opinions, I'm talking about, our expressions, what we believe. When we say something, it's going to make people angry. It's going to shock some people. It may even cause them pain inside. It may annoy them. It may disturb them. It's impossible for someone to express their views without someone at some time, one time or another, being annoyed. That's what happens when you have free speech. Now, notice what our text says tonight. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, that's interesting to me. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Tonight, I want to preach on this principle. I'm going to do my best to make it clear. I'm telling you, when I was sitting here studying for this, I thought, I hope this comes across all right.
Amen.
And I hope it does tonight.
Amen.
But I'm going to preach on this principle that we find not only in this proverb, but I'm going to use it topically and deal with this principle throughout the Bible as well. And that is this, and it's an interesting title, I think, anyway. Notice the wisdom of offending, but not offending.
Right.
Now, what does that mean? The wisdom of offending, but not offending. In other words, we're going to offend sometimes. That's inevitable. But we need to watch how we offend people. I'm going to explain that here in a minute.
Good.
All right, let's consider, first of all, number one, the command. Write that down, the command. I'm going to build something here that hopefully will end up in a place where we all understand.
Amen.
Now, as believers, I think we understand that we have been left here on this earth. There's a reason we've been left here after we got saved.
Right.
There is one primary objective that God has given to us, and that is to fulfill the Great Commission.
Amen.
That's why we're here.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I thought I was here to make $1 million. No. You're here to fulfill the Great Commission.
Amen.
That's why we're here. Now, if you make $1 million on the side, that's up to you, as long as you're doing right with God. Amen. But we're here for that reason. Now, the Great Commission was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in five different places in the Bible.
Amen.
Of course, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15, Luke 24, 44 through 47, John 20, 21, and Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But really, the most comprehensive form of the Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28. You can glance there if you want. You probably have it memorized. But it's found there where Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth."
Amen.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There it is, the Great Commission. We understand it. Most of us memorize those verses. Now, I want us to consider two things about the Great Commission. Letter A, write this down. It begins with giving the message of salvation. That's where it begins. We can't baptize anybody or teach anybody until they first get saved.
Amen.
So the very first thing we need to do is give out the gospel to all that are lost. Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel
Amen.
To every creature." So again, we are commanded. I know that this is kindergarten stuff.
Amen.
I get it, but I'm going somewhere.
Amen.
We are commanded to tell lost people how to be saved. We need to say that again and again.
Amen.
Well, yeah, preacher, I know that. Well, are you doing
Praise
it?
Praise the Lord.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to ask that one. I might have offended somebody when I said that. Are we doing it, though?
Amen.
Let's boil it down. Are you doing it?
Good. Amen.
Am I doing it?
Right.
And what am I doing when I go to the store? What am I saying to people? What am I saying to my neighbors? What am I saying to people that I pass by? I'm supposed to be giving them the gospel, telling them how to be saved. Now, the gospel we know is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I won't read it for time's sake. As we know, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it is a message that begins with bad news. Right? It starts with bad news, not good news, bad news, right? You may want to, you know, hold out the carrot there and say, you want to go to heaven when you die? Well, guess what? There's some bad news. We got to get to that bad news before we get to the good news. The bad news is that we're all sinners. All of us are. We know the verses, Romans 3:23 and 3:10. We're sinners by conception, and we are sinners by choice, by our conduct. We are sinners, which means that we are all destined for hell because of our sin.
Amen.
That's the message of the gospel for a lost and dying world, that you need to be saved because of your sin. You're destined for hell because of your sin. But here's the good news. God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary. He gave us a way to receive forgiveness of sins. His son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross, shed his blood for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. He died in our place so that we could have our sins forgiven and have eternal life in heaven. And if anyone will simply repent of their sin, change their mind about their sin and the Savior, and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then God will forgive anyone of all of their sin and guarantee them a home in heaven when they die. So the message is easy. It's simple. It's clear. But it's kind of exclusive. Here's what I mean by that. The message is this. There's no other way to heaven. That's what we're telling people, right? There is no other way to heaven than through Jesus Christ. Your good works will not get you to heaven. Religious ceremonies will not get you to heaven. The sacraments will not get you to heaven. Joining some church or some organization, becoming a Jehovah's Witness, becoming a Mormon, that won't get you to heaven. Getting to heaven is only through the blood of Jesus Christ, was shed for our sins. And that's Bible truth, right? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Through his name, not through the name of Muhammad, not through the name of Confucius, not through their teachings. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the message that you and I are commanded to give.
Glory to God.
You see, the goal is to win them to Christ.
Right.
We're not trying to win them to ourselves.
Right. Amen.
We don't want them to be a follower of Pastor Moore.
Amen.
Or we're not trying to win them to our church.
Amen.
We're trying to win them to Christ. We are to, and I use that phrase because of the phrase we find in our verse, a brother offended is harder to be won. We'll get to that here in a minute. So we are to win them to the Lord. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. But that's not all we're to do. We're not just to give them the gospel. That's the beginning. That's the first. Can't go any further without that. There is more to the Great Commission, and we get that. And that is this. Notice it begins with giving the message of salvation, but letter B, it continues with growing in the Scriptures. Our Lord wants followers. He wants disciples, not just saved people that are living for themselves. He wants saved people that are surrendered to him. And so once a person is saved, again, the Great Commission, verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So yeah, we are to give them the gospel. Then we are to teach them all the things in the Bible of how to live the Christian life. We are to teach them from this pulpit, in our Sunday school classes, if you're working with someone, discipling them, we are to teach them the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
That means we're to teach them what God says about living the Christian life. Oh, don't mess with me there. No, that's what we're to do, about living a life that is pleasing to God.
Amen.
We're to teach them about scriptural baptism. In other words, that there is only one baptism that's correct,
Amen.
And that is for believers only, by immersion only, by a doctrinally sound New
Amen.
Testament. I'll go ahead and say it. It's going to offend you. Wink, wink. Baptist church. Amen. So we're to teach them that. All other baptisms, if you've been sprinkled, that's not a biblical scriptural baptism. If you were not saved when you got immersed, then you need to have a scriptural baptism. If it was done by, I was baptized in the Mormon church. Yeah, what's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong. It's doctrinally wrong. That's why. And so that wouldn't be a scriptural baptism. We're to teach people about that. We're to teach them about being a member of a New Testament church. That's important.
Amen.
That's God's will for everyone to be saved, scripturally baptized, and a member of a New Testament church. We're to teach them about serving God through the local church. That's what we are to teach them. We're to teach them about surrendering our lives to God by living by a biblical standard and not a cultural standard. That means we need to teach them about the things that God wants us to put into our lives, Bible reading and prayer and that sort of thing, soul winning, giving and witnessing, and then teach them about the things that God wants us to get out of our lives, the things that are sinful and that are wrong.
Right.
We're to teach all those things. We're to teach them what God says about men and women and their roles. We're to teach that. Man is a man, a woman is a woman by birth. God created man, male and female, created he them. We're to teach them about what marriage is biblically. We're to teach them about creation. That's the seven-day literal creation. This earth is not millions of years old. It's 6,000 years old. That's it. We're to teach them why they shouldn't have piercings and tattoos, why they should dress like a Christian, the kind of music they should listen to, why they should stay away from astrology and witchcraft and all of that stuff. We're to teach them what is scripturally right and what is scripturally wrong.
Amen.
Here's how you live a life that's pleasing to God. Then we're to warn them about things. Oh, preacher, don't mention names. No, we should mention names. Because we need to warn people about the cults. We need to warn them about false teachings that's out there. Like we had the whole thing on Calvinism and all that. Need to warn you about that. Why the Pentecostal movement is wrong. Why what's wrong with the Catholic Church and that sort of thing. There are teachings that are wrong. False teachings, false religions. Again, these are all things that we are to teach to the saved. That's part of the Great Commission. Remember, the Bible addresses every area of life. Either by direct command or by principle. And we are, again, to deliver the whole counsel of God to God's people so that they might live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, be fruitful Christians, and make the greatest impact on this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you remember what Paul said, because this is what he did to the pastors at the church at Ephesus, Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. He had said, well, let's go there. Go to Acts chapter 20. I want to read this to you.
Amen.
Acts chapter 20. And look at verse 27. Because this is what he did at the church at Ephesus. Excuse me. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
I told you everything I knew.
Right.
Notice he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen.
For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
Amen.
He says, I've taught you everything I know. I've warned you about what's going to happen here. I'm trying to give you everything I can give you. And that's what we are to do as well. This is what we're commanded to do as a church. And that's very important. Again, where it begins with giving the message of salvation, then we encourage them to come to church, and it continues with growing in the Scriptures. Well, that's an easy task, is it? Isn't it? Not really. But we'll see why. Okay, so we see number one, the command. Number two, would you write this down? The challenge. Now, here's the challenge. And this has to do, we can go back to Proverbs chapter 18, if you like there, and have it there. I might depart before I read. But here's the challenge. The challenge that we have is this. For many, the message of the Bible will be offensive.
Right.
It'll be offensive.
Right.
You get that, right? If you don't understand that means you're not giving it out. Because if you start giving it out to people, you're going to hear, well, that's offensive to me. I don't like what you're saying. I don't agree with what you're saying. See, to many, the Bible message, whether it be that of salvation, I'll get into this in a moment here, or that of growing in the Lord,
amen,
the message of the Bible, to many, will annoy them. It will bother them.
Amen.
It will challenge them. It might even make them angry.
Right.
It might even shock them.
Right.
You know why? It's the nature of the message as it relates to the nature of man.
Right.
That's why.
Amen.
It's really the nature of the message because the Lord said that's what the message is going to do in this lost and dying world.
Amen.
You see, and here's why. The further that our nation and our churches get away from God and His Word and preaching the whole counsel of God, understand, the more strange and archaic the message of the Bible will be.
Amen.
The more out of step with culture the message of the Bible will be. You know, it's like that when the Lord Jesus came. When he came to this earth, we read in John chapter 7 and verse 46. And I don't know. I guess I have a little bit of an imagination when I read. I try to have one anyway. When they heard him speak, somebody said this: Never man spake like this man.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Man, what's he saying?
Right.
Nobody ever spake like this. I never heard this before. It's some weird stuff. That's what they were probably thinking. Could you see the looks on their faces
right
as he was preaching? Like, where's this guy from? Is he from Mars or something? What? Actually, a little further than that. But anyway, Mark 1:27. And they were all amazed in so much that they question among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this?
Amen.
That's how far at the time of Christ they were. The Jews were away from the Word of God.
Right.
That when he came and preached the truth that he is the way to heaven,
right,
and what the Bible says,
Amen,
they thought, wow, this is different.
Right.
It's weird. It's some kind of new doctrine. It was no different for the Apostle Paul either. If you remember when he preached at Athens, we read in Acts chapter 17 and verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. What are you saying? This is weird. This offends us. That's what they were saying. That's the nature of the message. And in the culture that we live in today, and the way churches in our nation have gone, now there's still good churches out there, but not a lot, that people will walk into a church like ours or another one that's preaching the Word of God, the whole counsel of God,
Amen,
and they'll go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Those people, something's wrong with that. That must be a cult. That's what they'll say. Now, two things we're told about the message of the Bible. We're on the back already. Wow, we're going to be done early tonight. Praise the Lord. Number one is this. It will be an offense to the lost.
Right.
Okay? It will be. I know it says it can. You might want to write will be.
Amen.
You see, to the lost, and again, some people do receive it. I get that. But overall speaking, to the lost, the message of the gospel is offensive.
Right.
It's offensive to them. We're told it's going to be. Galatians 5:11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Paul said, if I preach the work salvation, everybody'd be happy with that.
Right.
If I said you got to get baptized to be saved, be a good person to be saved, he said, everybody'd be happy with that. But when I say that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven,
Amen,
and you can do nothing to earn your way to heaven because none of us deserve heaven.
Amen.
Boy, there goes that sword that just cuts and offends people right there. Paul said it's the offense of the cross.
Amen.
Again, the message of Jesus Christ would be an offense to the unregenerate world. Romans 9:33, we read it again and again. As it is written, behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. There it is. Jesus Christ is speaking of there. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Right.
Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I kind of told you I probably wouldn't read that Proverbs, and I was right. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me get there here. And notice verse 6. Notice we read, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.
Amen.
Unto you, therefore, which believe. Notice this, he's precious, and he is, isn't he?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, God is good. Our Lord Jesus Christ is precious. To think of a God that would love me so much and die for my sins, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stumbling stone and a rock of
offense.
A rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You see, to the man who is stuck in his religion, to the man who is self-righteous, to the man who is stuck in his unbelief, who is bent on following his own way, the gospel will be offensive.
Right. Amen.
It will be. What are you telling me? I need to be saved. What are you saying? I'm not good enough to get to heaven? That's the attitude. So don't be surprised when you knock on a door or you talk to someone at work. I think I mentioned this on Sunday, that when you bring up the topic of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may see a complete metamorphosis of that person. where they were so nice and cheery a moment ago, now all of a sudden their eyes are like, staring through me. If looks could kill, I'd be dead, right? The gospel will be offensive. They may and will likely get offended by what you're saying. So it's an offense, again, to the lost.
Right.
But then listen to this, letter B. We're talking about Bible messages now,
Amen.
Not just the gospel. It can be an offense to the saved.
Right. Amen.
It can be.
Right.
There have been people that have come from different types of churches that have come in here, and they weren't real happy with some of the things we've been saying in here in Sunday school and church. Not just me, it's you too. Amen. Okay, just how can they, Brother Cordry? Nobody could be him. No way. But go over to John chapter 6. I'm going to show you something here. You see, the gospel message is not only offensive to the lost, but the Bible message is an offense to the saved. Look at here in John chapter 6, verse 53. I think you know Jesus was explaining something about him, and some kind of deep truths, if you will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Amen.
As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That this is that bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now watch this. Many therefore, watch this, of his disciples. You got that, right?
Right.
When they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it?
Amen.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you?
Right.
Go over to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? I'm offended by what you said. That's what they're saying.
Right.
You see, as we're not only giving the gospel to people, but then we're trying to give people the whole counsel of God. I mean, hit every subject that we need to hit. That's everything in life. Understand, sometimes people get offended.
Right.
They're going to get upset. When you teach or preach believers about things like, and I've been there, people that are saying, even about the simplest thing, scriptural baptism, sometimes they get upset.
Right.
I mean, you tell me that my baptism's no good. I was baptized, I was sprinkled in the Methodist church, and you're telling me that's no good? I'm a saved man.
Right.
Well, I'm not telling you it's no good. The Bible is.
Because
everyone in the Bible was saved and then scripturally baptized by immersion. That's how it went.
Right.
Well, I don't believe that. And they get upset because of the Bible truth. When you start talking about being faithful to church, look, I didn't write the Bible. God wrote it.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, right? Hebrews 10:25, still in the Bible. And boy, you say that to some people. Boy, they get upset.
Right.
How come you weren't there? Well, who do you think you are asking me why I'm not there? I have my reason. I didn't feel like coming. I was tired. That's why. So there. Okay, whatever. I'm just saying, they get offended by that. I'm sorry. It's okay. You can miss any time you want. It's fine with me. Fine. No, we don't do that. We say what the Bible says. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sometimes people get upset over Bible versions. Not in this church, I hope. But, I don't think so. But standards, I mean, sometimes my point is this. Even believers, they get offended at stuff. That's Bible truth.
Amen.
I say, if it's wrong, show me. Hey, I'll change my position on it. Just show me from the Word of God. Yet they get annoyed, and they get disturbed. They get shocked sometime at what you're saying. And they get upset, hurt, and angry. Again, this is the nature of the message.
Amen.
And again, because the message of the Bible cuts against the nature of man and against our culture and the
Amen.
Kind of liberal churches that are out there.
Amen.
And so people will always go find another church that's going to be fine with my baptism or the way I live. You see, when you teach the Bible, understand something. When you preach the Bible, if you teach a Sunday school class, someone is bound to be offended
right.
sooner or later. I like what commentator Dave Sorensen says. He's coming to our church to do a module to the seminary. He said this in his commentary on Proverbs. He said it. That's why I gave his name, so you don't get offended at me. He can get offended with him when he comes in the fall. He says, quote, "Weak and carnal Christians are prone to take offense."
Amen.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them is something. Anyway, I said that part. He says, in such cases, it is harder to win them back than an army capturing a hostile city. That's what Proverbs is talking about here. Their content, not really, but I'll tell you, their contentions become like the bars of a castle gate, difficult to reconcile. One moral is to be careful so as not to offend other unnecessarily, is what he says. And so here's the challenge. This is what I'm trying to say. The challenge is this. We have to deliver a message that God tells us to deliver,
right,
that is likely to offend people, or especially offend people that are easily offended.
Right.
That's what we have to do.
Amen.
So let's go back to our verse here. Because the Bible says this, interesting, how can I give a message that has the potential to offend a lost person and a saved person and still try to win them to the Lord?
Amen. That's good.
That's a challenge, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, there's a course that I'm going to show you, and that's number three, by the way, the course. We see the command, the challenge, and lastly, the course. So remember, backing up here, here it is. Our goal is to win people to the Lord.
Amen.
Now think of it twofold. Think of it winning the lost to the Lord, salvation, and then winning believers to follow the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
Or maybe winning a backslider to back to Christ, right? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to win them to the Lord, influence them for the Lord, point them to Him. Again, we're not trying to get them to follow our church or our pastor. We're trying to get them to follow God and to follow what is best for them if they obey the Bible. So what is the best way to do this?
Good.
How do we do that?
Amen.
Again, notice our verse. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city.
Amen.
And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, it's interesting because the Hebrew word in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19 for offended, listen closely because this hopefully will bring it all together, is the Hebrew word pasha. It's used 37 times in the Old Testament. And I looked at all of them. And when I looked at all of them, I noticed what it meant. It means, listen to this, to transgress against. It means to trespass against. Out of the 37 times you'll find that Hebrew word, that's what it's translated to mean. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is this. It is when you and I act in an un-Christ-like way towards someone when we're trying to deliver a message.
Right.
That's what it is. Right. So watch this. If the message of the Bible is offensive and I have to win the lost, bring along the saved, how do I do this? Watch this. It has to do with not the message he's talking about here, but with my manners.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
Because the message is the message.
Amen.
You see, here's what we're not to do. And this is where most or many churches go wrong. We're not to compromise our message. Some people may say, well, it offends them, so I better lighten up a little bit. I better watch the way I say it. I'm going to change my stand a little bit, not be so hard. That's not what we're to do.
Right.
We are not to compromise the message. We are not to water down the message.
Amen.
We are not to refuse to talk about certain Bible topics that might be offensive to people. We're not to change the Bible language. We have to give out God's truth, God's
Amen.
Way. But by the way, many are willing to change the message in order to not offend people. I don't know if you saw this. It's been around quite some time. Joel Osteen. I'm talking about Joel a lot lately. Why do you smile like that when I say you look just like him when you said when I did it? Anyway. Joel Osteen did an interview with Larry King. You probably saw this years ago. And boy, Larry was hammering him. I'm just going to sum it up. I'm not going to quote it. But he had asked him about going to heaven. And he had said, well, Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And so Larry said something like this. He said, so then a Jew is not going to heaven. Well, Larry, you know, I don't know somebody's heart, you know. I don't know if we can say that. But and then he said, what if you're a Muslim or you're an atheist? And he, Larry, I can't judge. God knows everybody's heart. I just don't know about that. That felt like Gomer Pyle I was watching there. Well, what's the matter with this guy? He's afraid to offend. He's afraid to offend. So he's compromising the message. That is not what we're to do.
Amen.
We have to give out God's truth, God's way. So real quick, what is he talking about here when he talks about this word, a brother offended, trespassed against, transgressed against, is harder to be won? Two things. When we are trying to win people to the Lord, when we are trying to get them saved, but also we're trying to bring people along, there's two things I think we have to remember. Number one is this. What he's talking about here, it's a matter of temperament. Temperament. You say, what do you mean by that? Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Real quick, we're almost done here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Notice what the servant of the Lord must not do. Strive. He must be gentle unto all men. He must be apt to teach, patience, meekness, instructing those that oppose. You see, when I'm trying to win someone to the Lord, when I'm trying to give a believer even a Bible truth from the Word of God, if I'm trying to have a discussion about something with someone or teach them something, especially with someone who may be questioning me or challenging my beliefs, I need to watch, and you need to watch our temperament.
Right. That's good. Amen.
That's what we need to watch. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
Meanness and ugliness. No, that's not it. Amen. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. My point is this. When I'm talking to people about the Lord, when I'm standing up for my position, when they're saying something and I'm trying to tell them what I believe, I cannot get angry.
Amen.
I cannot use insults. I cannot do things like belittle them or resort to personal attacks or name calling. I must deal with people in the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We have to watch our temperament.
Right.
You know, I love this verse, and I say it often, and I try to really use this in a sense as a theme for our church as a whole. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For years we've been talking about that. You can have a church that preaches the truth and still has grace.
Amen.
It is possible. I preach the truth, so I'm cantankerous. Yeah. Well, have some grace with it.
Right.
Have some grace with the truth. You're dealing with people. We're not trying to get them mad. We're trying to bring people along. We're trying to see them get saved. We're trying to work with people. And so, again, we offend when our temperament's wrong and we lose any opportunity to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. They stand up like that proverb says, like the walls. A brother offended. It's harder to be walled than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I think that's what, personally, just say it. I think that's what one of the errors of Donald Trump was. He had great policies. But boy, he'd just slap everybody across the head. And you know, you had people that were, they called them never Trumpers. You know why? Because of the principle of that verse. They may have even agreed with some of the things. They said, I might vote for him. I'm not agreeing with him. I'm going to vote for one thing. Why is that? Because of his temperament. That's my opinion. But that's the principle of the Bible.
Amen.
And we can be the same way with people.
Right.
If we are angry and ugly and we belittle them and we mock them and laugh at them for their beliefs, understand what we're doing. We are causing an offense that God doesn't want us to cause. The message is offensive. I get it. But we should not be. It's about our manners, not the message.
Right. Amen.
You see, if unchristlike behavior comes out of us, it's going to, if it gets people mad, they're not going to listen.
Right.
They're not going to listen.
Amen.
The message may offend them, but my temperament should not. You see, I have to use God's truth. I have to use truth coupled with grace, boldness coupled with love, reasoning, logic, persuasion. I need to see people, and you need to see people as the Lord Jesus Christ sees
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
Listen, we're not merely trying to win an argument.
Right.
We're trying to win them for the Lord, influencing them for the Lord. So it's a matter of temperament. Then the last thing, letter B, we're done. It's also a matter of timing.
Right.
I want to show you a verse. I think I shared this with Colton the other day. Go to John chapter 16. This verse greatly helped me in ministry. It really did. John chapter 16. Look at verse 12. Jesus, of course, was in the upper room. Chapter 13, he got there. Now he's making his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. But notice what he says in verse 12. He says, this is to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now.
Amen.
He says, I have a lot to tell you. I have a lot more I want to give you.
Right.
Watch this, he says. But you're not ready for it. I think Paul said the same thing. In my opinion, Paul was the penman of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5, when he said, you know, talked about Melchizedek to them, of whom I could tell you a lot more stuff, but you're not ready for it yet. When you should be teaching, I have to go back and teach you again. You're not ready for that truth yet. And so when we're trying to deal with people, understand something, like Jesus with his disciples, they were not mature enough to receive it yet. Understand, not everybody is ready for the meat of the word. And it is not wise to get into certain, I know this statement might come back to bite me, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not wise sometimes to get into certain conversations with lost people.
Right.
It's not wise. Matthew 7:6, give not that which is unholy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Listen, it's not wise to dump the truck on a new Christian.
Right.
Now, I've been out soul-winning with people, and I'm going to talk about way back later. I'm not going to, not here. Okay, you're saved now, so you know you got to get rid of that country music. You got to throw out your pants, ladies. You got to take those 7 earrings out of your ears, and you got to stop playing with those guys. You got to do this, And I'm thinking, what are you doing? This person just got saved. Understand what you're doing. You're making it hard on them. That's what you're doing. They don't get that. They're not ready for that.
Right.
Oh, preacher, you mean compromise? I'm not saying compromise the truth. I'm saying use wisdom with people because you can drive them away. If you're going to dump the truck on them and they're not ready for it,
right.
Let them grow.
Amen.
Let them grow. I've had the joy, I really have, and anybody that's pastor for any amount of years have, to see God working in the lives of people that come in just dressed like the world and living like the world. And you don't dump the truck on every, you know, there, I got a sermon for next week for this guy. No, you just preach the word of God and you watch the Spirit of God work in their hearts and their dress changes and their attitude changes and their lives change and they start throwing stuff out. And it's all done by the Spirit of God. It's not me driving it into them. Hey, get rid of that.
Amen.
You say, oh, you're saying they shouldn't get rid of it? No, I'm not saying they shouldn't get rid of it. But I'm saying we can do harm if we try to dump the truck on them.
Amen.
You see, no wonder Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, as he sent forth his disciples, before I send you forth, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what we need.
Right.
Why is Capital Baptist Church here? Why are we here? To fulfill the Great Commission.
Amen.
Not to just give everybody the what for. Oh, tell them you'd stop that and don't do that. That's more than that. Yes, we say those things. But we're trying to bring people along.
Amen.
We're trying to get them saved. Right. We're trying to work with them. We're trying to let God work in their lives. Right. And understand something. The message, we don't compromise the message.
Right.
The message is the message. But again, we have to watch our mannerism.
Right.
And how we deliver that message. And when we deliver that message.
Right.
Now, for the most part, typically, I try to be a little stronger on Wednesday nights. Well, this Sunday morning was a little bit different. But I typically do, because you typically have your stronger Christians on a Wednesday night. So I'll deal with some of the heavier subjects typically. If you haven't figured that out, there's my secret, okay? Why is that? Because you want to preach the right message to the right crowd. I'm not trying to compromise, and if it's in the Bible, I'm not going to stop from preaching. I'm not going to do that. But again, you have to watch your mannerism. We all do.
Amen.
And watch our timing with people. Because we need to be wise if we want to make a difference in this world. Yes, it's going to offend people, the message is. But let's not be an offense to them by the way our manners are. Amen?
Amen.
Again, title, I hope you got it now, The Wisdom of Offending, But Not Offending.
Amen?
Amen?